Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you. Nick Kieser is back at our Game Nashville studios. Going to get to NFL Zingers in just a second, but I do got to do this. Want to give a shout-out. I mentioned Ricky, my best friend. It's his mom, Cynthia's, birthday today.
Oh.
So shout-out to Mama Merritt on her birthday. I know they're listening right now, so.
Happy birthday, Miss Cynthia.
Yes.
Mama Cynthia. There we go.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
You know Rick.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job being Rick's mom.
Exactly.
And she's done a fantastic job with it. So,
hope it's a good
day. Love you, Rick. Let's get to our NFL Zingers. Man. Nick, take it away.
All right, guys. On that note, lots of shout-outs this afternoon, but I think we'll take them. So I want to start off with the Rams, guys. I think the Rams are one of the more interesting teams after being very disappointing to start the year. It's no different now. So I pose the question, should Matthew Stafford retire after this season? He's been abysmal, really bad this
retire?
Year.
Retire?
Should he retire?
Hey, he calling it. The youngin' call it. He should retire.
The arm is an issue, don't you think? I mean, staying healthy is an issue. I don't think he'll retire unless that continues to progress. And you have to worry about it a little bit. They're really struggling.
I mean, they lost their bat. They lost over the last year and one or two games. Well, last year in a game, they lost their best pass catcher and their second best pass catcher. Well, at one point, they had lost all three. When you're talking about Jefferson, he was out for a while.
Yeah.
OBJ, he got injured in the Super Bowl.
He's been signed with the Cowboys. So
exactly. And now Cooper Kupp is down.
Yeah.
So you went from a quarterback that had three legitimate number ones to a guy that has none. And at one point this season, he only had one of them, Cooper Kupp. So they brought Allen Robinson in to help out, but he has not fit in. So you look at this team and all the moves they made 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. They got exactly what they wanted. They got a Super Bowl out of it. But, man, oh, man, they are paying for it this year with the injuries.
What would surprise you more? Stafford calls it a career or McVay retires? Because that rumor was out
there even before the season started.
Yeah.
That McVay will retire?
Yeah.
I think it would
They both won Super Bowls.
It would surprise me, considering how young McVay is, unless he wants to be a GM or something like that. But it would surprise me if he did retire.
Look, I get he's still young, still the youngest coach in the league. And coaching's hard, man.
Oh,
it's a full-time job, and it wears on you. And you look at some of these guys, that what they look like when they first start coaching, and then a few years down the line, I mean, it ages you.
But
at Vrabel. I mean, I think Vrabel fits that.
Yeah. But I'm sure they've got a new leash on life. When you got the draft picks they have, they can build back through the draft.
Yeah.
No, they actually don't have any.
Exactly.
They traded all of their draft picks.
Well, he might just retire.
That could be a little problem.
He could just retire. If he doesn't, I'm telling you what, Aaron Donald may be gone next year or after this season. Matthew Stafford, you don't know if he's going to be healthy moving forward. Cooper Kupp, how is he going to come back next season, even though they have not put him on IR, I don't think, or did they?
6 to 8 weeks, they said, for Cooper Kupp.
So, I mean, that's out of the playoffs, IR, yeah. All of your weapons are gone.
What does Jalen Ramsey think about that whole thing, I wonder?
Oof.
Well,
I mean, you have to know, with the moves that they made, that it was going to eventually come to this. It worked.
They got the ring.
Hey, if I'm the Titans, this is what I'm doing. In the offseason, I'm making a call to L.A. Rams and saying, hey, how can we work out a deal to get Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah.
Ooh. Seriously.
Ooh.
If you're who? Throws
if
it
I'm
down.
The Titans to get Jalen Ramsey.
Bring
the Rams.
Him home?
Yeah. Because the Rams don't seem like they're
going anywhere. Can I be honest with you?
I
don't want him here.
Why? He's a good player.
He's a good player, but he's got an attitude problem that I don't think fits with this team.
Yeah, you probably could be right about that, but man.
I mean, he's a hell of a player.
I'll give him that.
But
he might bring that swagger the defense already has it, but he would just add to it, man.
Yeah. You,
I think you bring him into a good culture, I think he'd do the job. Yeah.
He'd be all right.
Look, all right, what else you got, Nick?
All right, guys, so we go from a veteran over to a young star in the league. I want to talk about Zach Wilson not owning up to having a better offensive performance yesterday. What do we think of the Jets, and are they a team that can even make the playoffs at this point? They had an abysmal game yesterday. They lose 10-3. I mean, he doesn't even stick up for himself after that game that he had yesterday. There were more punts than there were completions for the Jets. Are they actually going to catch back up and be a competitor once again and make the playoffs?
I mean, listen, if
we talked about this a little bit earlier, you go ahead, Derek. I don't know.
Just look at his numbers. I mean, his numbers are dismal. I mean, he's thrown over 200 yards or 250 once. Well, twice. Once against New England and the other against Pittsburgh. This is the problem that I have with the Jets. I like the Jets. Everything they're doing, especially from a defensive standpoint, they're surrounding their quarterback with weapons, whether it's Alave or Corey Davis or whoever else. They're adding weapons. But this quarterback isn't your guy. No. And the mistake they're making is they're trying to stick with him to find out if he is the guy, where if you had someone else at quarterback, I'm thinking if you had Joe Flacco at quarterback, you probably would be a better team from the quarterback standpoint.
You know, I have wondered that while this has gone on, because mm-hmm. they have really won in spite of him.
Exactly.
And – you know, Nick is referring to his post-game press conference where they, you know, they kind of gave him, the New York media way, a chance to sort of own it, that he wasn't very good. You know, it's a 3-3 game. Of course, they give up a punt return on almost the last play of the game for a touchdown, the first punt return for a touchdown all year. But they had a chance to win that game. Mm-hmm. And if they win that game, that's their seventh win. So they're winning with a young team, but the quarterback piece is the guy lagging behind. It's pretty obvious. I don't like his body language. I don't like his throwing mechanics. His decision-making has come into question. And you know, I've wondered if you just went with the veteran quarterback, or even the other kid, White, who I don't know that you could play worse than Zach Wilson.
Who else did we say this about maybe 5 or 6 years ago? Who else did we say this about? Quarterback. Did we say this about?
Mariota.
No. Not Baker Mayfield, but Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
We said the same thing about the body language and everything else, and the Cleveland sticking with him a little bit too long, and, you know, they wanted to see if he was the guy. Well, the Jets are in the same situation, but he's not – I mean, Wilson's not a Heisman Trophy winner, but they're in the same situation.
They actually don't need much from the quarterback because the defense is very, very good for the Jets. They're in games.
The defense is going to get tested in the next few weeks. I mean, look, Chicago, I like what I see out of Chicago. I think they're a ways off, but I think they got a quarterback.
He's Justin Fields. He's putting up numbers. They're losing, but he's
exciting.
They need
pieces around him.
Yeah.
And they need a defense. Then they're at the Vikings, they're at the Bills, and then the upstart Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Get to come to New York. So I don't know. I think New England's a lot better than people were thinking. Derek said it earlier. New England's kind of flying under the radar right now.
They play defense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. All right, Nick.
All right, guys. Philly has a team to worry about, and I think Chase knows where I'm going with this. So, Chase, give me a resounding how them Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A 40 spot yesterday.
And Dallas's defense has put up a huge argument for them, making a case to perhaps knock off Philly in first place by the time the season ends. Do we think they can get first place? And are they going to be Philly's biggest problem the rest of the season?
I think they're their biggest test. But the fact that they put 40 on the Vikings yesterday and just Kirk Cousins had no answer for them. Micah Parsons
is that dude.
He is that dude.
Man, that kid. I mean, there's no stopping him, man. I mean, he's what Von Miller was, you know, five or six years ago.
Yes, that's a good comp.
Before Von had this injury, Von was on a tear when they were winning, when they went to the Super Bowl, Von was on a tear, and you could not stop him. I don't care what you did, you could not stop him. And Michael Parsons is on the same trend. I mean, the kid is not – whether you put him on the left side or the right side. I mean, their right tackle got hurt, Minnesota's, and they put him – the very next play, they put Parsons to the right side. And but man, oh man, that poor kid, man. I'm telling you, that poor kid that was trying to block him, it wasn't even a test, man. This kid's good.
The one that Dallas wants back is Green Bay. They should have beat Green Bay. They blew that game. They know they blew that game and lost in overtime. And then they turn around and took it out on Minnesota.
And I think there's probably a little correction. Minnesota has overachieved a little bit. And I think they were due to maybe come back to earth, and Dallas was the other way. I think they probably lost a couple they felt like they should have won.
Yeah.
Remember, they were missing their quarterback. Dallas got to feel pretty good about their direction right now.
They still need a playmaker on at the receiver position besides CeeDee Lamb. Dallas do.
Would you take Beckham if you're them? I
go back to what I said about him and coming here. How much, coming off an ACL,
right?
How much is he going to help you? Like, is he going? He's not going to be the Odell Beckham that we saw in the Super Bowl prior to the injury, and you know, throughout, you know, the last six or seven games of the season last year. He's not going to be that OBJ. So, are you getting him for next year? I can see more of that.
Yeah, but they need help now.
They need help now.
That's the thing.
I don't know why they traded away Amari Cooper.
They couldn't afford him. That was just crazy. They had to. It was a cap thing.
Come on, man, Jerry Jones, you could have figured something out because you're paying for it now.
Here's the problem. They have two running backs.
Yeah.
And Zeke is making way too much money. Like, I think this is Zeke's last year in Dallas.
He'll take a pay cut. I don't think Jerry wants to give him up. I don't think Jerry wants to cut him. I think he ended up paying.
But they got to keep the one-two punch.
Exactly, they have to. But I think Zeke could probably end up taking a pay cut just to stay in Dallas.
And look, this is Dallas. This is what they got coming up: the Giants Thursday on Thanksgiving. That's gonna be a fun game, though. Mm-hmm. Colts, Houston. These are all at home. At Jacksonville, Philadelphia at home on Christmas Eve, and then they're here on Thursday night to take on the Titans and then close out at
the
Washington.
Commanders.
And then Philadelphia, what they have is Green Bay next week, Sunday night game at home. Then they host the Titans on December 4th at New York, at Chicago, at Dallas. Saints close with the Giants at home.
They might have a tougher schedule.
I think they do.
Toward the end than Dallas do.
Well, and, you know, relating it back to the Titans, the fact that the Titans got to face both Dallas and Philadelphia on their run.
At least they get Dallas here.
Yeah, on a Thursday night.
On a Thursday night, yeah.
You know, so that will help too. Great job, Nick. That's NFL Zingers. We'll get back into the Titans a little bit and the Vols, as well as we're live at Bridgestone Arena today. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, live at Pete Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators, Coyotes tonight. Pre-game coverage at 6 o'clock. The next opponent, though, for the Titans, the Cincinnati Bengals. And I said this to Derek earlier, Willie, before you got here. I think there's a lot riding on this game just because of the psyche with the Titans. I think Ryan Tannehill really wants to get this one off his shoulders. He wants to go have a big game. He had his best game of the season Thursday night against Green Bay. He wants to do the same and take care of business against Cincinnati because people are going to continue to talk about that playoff game until he does. So I think this is a big deal for them to try and take care of things Sunday here at Nissan Stadium.
I remember a game, Derek. I think it was the first game of the season.
Wasn't it this year?
No, I'm talking about when the Music City Miracle, when you guys beat the Bills in the Music City Miracle. Didn't you guys open at Buffalo the next year?
Yeah, we went the next year and opened up as a night game.
And Jeff Fisher had on the PA the special teams introduced as the starting lineup, not the offense or the defense.
Yeah.
And it was a very intense game.
And we had a big game, special teams-wise.
But Buffalo won the game, if I remember correctly.
It was a close game.
So I can see just the emotions that teams have the next time you face the team.
Oh, you know who's going to be announced last.
Yeah.
It should be. I mean, usually they save Henry, but announce Tannehill. Well, hype him up, man.
And you have to be thinking, too, you might have to play the Bengals again in the playoffs. The Bengals are right there in the mix. That was a big
seventh seed right now.
That was a big swing last night in the Sunday night game with the Chargers. Almost they had the game in the palm of their hand against the Chiefs. They got Mahomes. You know, that's what happened. Just like the Titans, they had the Chiefs on the ropes. Mahomes bailed them out. Same kind of thing. He and Kelce just figure it out. So there's a log jam of teams. The Titans have got a great position because, you know, if you just do the math, if they get to 9 wins, there's almost no way. The Colts would have to almost – they'd have to be 5-1.
Right.
So there's almost no margin for error for the Colts. And, you know, realistically, are they good enough to go 5-1? Probably not. So no. You could even mark – there's a chance that 8 wins. They could be 8-9 and still be the division champ. But that's not what their goal is. They want to see if they can get into that conversation for a bye. But there's any number of teams they could face. But I have to agree, right? I try to downplay stuff like that, but I do think it means something to play well in this game on Sunday.
I'll tell you why this is important right now. Because of the way the seeding is shaking out. Titans are the third seed. You want to at least keep that spot. Yeah, you're still in the conversation potentially for a 2 or a 1, but you need a lot of things to happen because you've lost –
to both of those teams.
Yeah, you've lost to the Chiefs, you've lost to the Bills. But right now, the Dolphins are the second team, and the Bills are the fifth seed. If you move into the fourth spot that Baltimore currently has, you're likely going to have to play either Buffalo or Miami in the first round, even though it would be here. You don't want that.
No, I mean.
That'd be tough.
It would be tough, but, I mean, you would get them here. Which is a positive for the Titans.
Right now you get the Patriots.
Yeah, and the Patriots are playing really, really well. They're sort of flying underneath the radar, and they're just beating team after team and positioning themselves for the playoff. Hopefully, I'm sure that's what they're thinking. But when you're able – because ever since that playoff game with the Cincinnati Bengals, and these are – Ryan's not our words. He had to get help. He had to seek counseling because he was not in a good place after that game. And these are the words he said. We didn't say this. So you got to believe that this was a game he zeroed in on, that I have to play well in this game, because the last time our fans – saw me versus the Cincinnati Bengals, I threw 3 crucial interceptions, and it wasn't a good look. So me, amongst everyone else, needs to play well. I'm sure he had this game, and Vrabel would never say it. Ryan probably won't say it. But they've circled this game, and I'm sure Tannehill has circled this game, that he needs to play. This is a redemption game for him. Because if he doesn't play well in this game again versus Cincinnati – you might, like you said, Willie, Chase, you might have to play them again in the playoffs.
Yeah. And it's going to revisit a lot of uncomfortable stuff. He's going to have to answer questions.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's not – I mean, he's going to play hard no matter what. But I think it would mean a lot mentally for everybody.
It's like a hurdle in this way.
Even if you lose a tight up-and-down game and he plays well, that's one thing. But if he struggles – and they lose again, then the whole thing's going to get drudged back up. It's interesting how the Bengals have handled the success, too. It hasn't been totally smooth sailing for them. They lost Joe Mixon during the game yesterday with a concussion.
I had them out of the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Yep. They have trouble running the ball most of the time. And now we'll see about Mixon with the concussion. We also see this week, I don't know if anybody said anything today about Ja'Marr Chase. Do they think he's got a chance of coming back?
I think there's a chance, but I don't know how great that chance is. But there's a chance.
I still think they would possibly be without 2 of their playmakers on offense.
And they still have trouble protecting Joe Burrow.
They've missed Ja'Marr Chase. Derek, you've said it. He's a game changer when he's on the field. Even if he's not catching the ball.
Oh, he's a difference maker, because when he's on the field, you have to pay attention to him. Not just one guy. You got to have 2 guys paying attention to him. And it opens up and frees up everyone else on that offense in regards to your skill position. But when he's not on there, when he's not on the field, man, they got to work that much harder just to get that rhythm going that they had when Chase was in the game.
I'd be curious if somebody would ask Mike Vrabel this, and I know he's likely not to answer it just because he doesn't like to talk about his playing career, but maybe you can answer it for him. There's obviously a different emotion that goes into this game. Mm-hmm. Even though a player might tell you that, hey, it's the next one on the schedule, it's one we got to go take care of, but you can't sit here and tell me that there's not a human element to it, that you're looking at this one a little bit different because this is the team that ended your season last year. This is the team that went to the Super Bowl and took your spot. So I think there's a little more oomph, especially coming off a win like they did in the fashion that they did. There's going to be a little more oomph. I'd be curious of Vrabel, the difference of emotion that he had as a player going into a game like this, as opposed to now as a coach, of knowing that you got to be a little more even-keeled, you got to make sure your team's even-keeled, but at the same time, in the back of your mind, you want this one too.
I mean, you saw him after the Colts game and how emotional he was right after the game. I mean, even on the field, how excited he was and pumped up he was. And then he's greeting all the players as they're coming through the tunnel, and he's hugging guys, and an emotional, you know, moment he had with Ben Jones. That player is still in him.
Yeah.
It's still there. He gets up for challenges like this. But he understands and knows that I can only go so far. I can only do so much. You know, it's the players that has to go out there and get the job done. I can coach them and do everything we need to do as a staff, but ultimately it's the players that win and lose games. But that fire is still going to be there. We saw it. What game was that when he was just excited on the sideline, giving high fives and everything else?
Yeah.
That player is still in Vrabel.
Sure.
It's in there, but he understands that he can't let it come all the way out, you know, because you might get a penalty when you're allowed to go, or you might challenge something that you have no business challenging when that player comes out of you because you're into it. The emotion is into it, but I got to believe that he's looking at this game. One, he wants it back for his quarterback.
Sure.
I'm sure he does. But then he wants it back for his team, too, because this is the team that beat you at your place when everyone thought that, hey, this is the Titans' year to go to the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is ran through Nashville and you end up laying the egg. Why wouldn't you want this game back? Why wouldn't you be motivated?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be excited as a coach or as a player?
Absolutely. I couldn't say it better myself. Coming up next, it's trivia time, as we do every day at 1:30, or most days at 1:30. We're live at Bridgestone Arena today, Pete and Terry's Tavern. Preds and Coyotes tonight. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Ladarius Robinson, Michael Jackson, and Nick Keyser back on the ones and twos. Doing it well.
This is one of my favorite albums of all time, Off the Wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best Michael Jackson album.
Really?
The best.
You say Off the Wall.
Absolutely.
When I disagree
100%.
With
you. I agree with them.
It's my favorite.
I agree with them.
I'm going to go with Bad. But
you're going with Bad.
Good.
Okay.
They're all good.
They're all,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
you're
the
right.
thing. Like, you can't go wrong. I mean, some are going to say Thriller. Some are going to say Off the Wall. Some are going to say Bad. I think Dangerous should get a little more love than it does. But not for the best album.
Yeah, not for the best album.
No.
Just because it was Michael's work.
Yeah.
That's why I should get some love. But Dangerous wasn't one of his top ones.
No, but I like some songs of Dangerous.
Yeah. No, you're right. They got some good songs.
Including the song Dangerous.
Listen.
Thank you, Derek. All right. Trivia. Let's get to that because on the line, it's a pair of tickets to see Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience coming up at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November 30th. So just a few short days away. All you got to do is answer Willie's trivia question.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, let's throw it at some Predator fans here tonight. It looks like Connor Ingram is going to get the start for the Coyotes in goal, former Predator. But the Predators traded for Connor Ingram back in the day. Who was he originally with? He never appeared in the NHL for them, but what organization originally had Connor Ingram in their system before the Predators traded for him? 615-737-1025. I'll give you a hint. They have visited Nashville on this homestand, that organization.
See, I don't even know if you needed to do that.
Yeah.
You didn't think I needed to do that?
No.
Okay.
I think people will get this. 615-737-1025. We've covered a lot of ground today, a lot of different things going on, whether it's the Titans, the Preds, but the Vols, and we know that it was not the way that they wanted it to go. In South Carolina, they still have a lot to play for, and that's what Vols fans need to realize. Now, I am going to say something real quick, because I love a good troll job on Twitter. Did you guys see South Carolina and what they did?
Oh, the banjo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is a live.
That was so funny. Because I just didn't know that was
Rocky
going.
Rocky Top. Yes. And so I forget the group there, but they're setting up, recorded this and it's been, recorded. And here we go. And then it's not Rocky Top.
It's Sandstorm.
Yeah, Sandstorm.
What they always play before
yeah.
the game.
Yeah, so it was that was well done.
That was really well done.
I appreciate a good troll job, and that was very, very well done.
Because when he starts strumming on the banjo,
yeah,
you're expecting a banjo sound,
yeah.
And, of course, Sandstorm is anything but a banjo
yes.
song. But he's still got his fingers going along with the Sandstorm, and it kind of matches up a little bit. It was laugh out loud kind of stuff.
I have a friend that was there. She went to the game
and
said
wow.
It was the wildest, craziest experience that she's ever been a part of in a football game.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm sure the atmosphere was just nuts.
Did they tear down a goalpost and put it in their river or something?
No, but I know they tore up the shrubs that are there on the sideline because they ran on the field and the shrubs are destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there you go. South Carolina pulls off the victory.
But
upset.
There's a
– What? I mean, like I said earlier in the show, it was – directly up against the Predators game, so I just didn't see it unfolding. I saw some highlights, but if you had to decide, sort of say what happened, if you're trying to, in a two paragraph, say what happened, what, how would you answer that?
They overlooked their opponent.
They just played through a horrible defense.
Yeah.
Defense didn't play, didn't show up.
Were there guys injured that weren't expected
well,
to be
here's,
injured?
Here's one thing that we do need to talk about. Jeremy Banks – linebacker Jeremy Banks, mm-hmm. who is one of their star players on defense, did not play.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report that was coming around that there was some altercation that led to him being disciplined. That's why he didn't play. Josh Heupel was asked about it on Monday. He declined to comment. And he said, quote, we anticipate Jeremy being with us here this week. And as far as what transpired and those type of things, at the end of the day, he was not available. So
why wasn't he available?
He's not going to tell you. But that when a coach says that, whenever I hear that he was not available, that means something happened and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Of course, you would have to think. I would tend to think it was, did he miss class? Did he not attend study hall? Was he late for meetings? What was it that you felt you needed to take your star player out of a game in that situation? Now, if it was those things, then you should say it. Like, this is what happens. This is what happened.
Yeah.
We have a standard that every guy needs to meet. And if he doesn't, they know what the consequences are. We could have used him Saturday, but he understands. I don't know why he's keeping everybody sort of, in the dark, because eventually it's going to come out. It's going to look worse on you.
Yeah.
And then you have to start backtracking,
So. Well, the rumor that was out there was he was involved in an altercation with a teammate that led to him being disciplined. And that's what it was. Now, he's taken to Instagram and said, quote, wasn't about no conflict or nothing like that. Get facts, bro. Coming back harder than ever.
So
that
what
was
Jeremy
it? Banks.
So what was
I
it?
Think it was a conflict with a teammate. That's what it was.
Exactly. But my thing is, if you have a conflict with a teammate, y'all squash it, y'all talk about it, and y'all move on. Players have confrontations all the time. And you know, you move on. You get past it, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't – if it's something – if it was something in a classroom or him missing meetings, okay, I can understand that. But some other stuff, nah, I don't know. If it was something off the field, then yeah. But if it was something concerning him and another player in altercation, no, you're still playing. We'll deal with that later.
Quick scoreboard update from Qatar.
Ah, the World Cup, yes.
The US of A has scored against
the US
Wales.
Of A.
So they're up 1-0?
They have gone up 1-0.
See,
no question.
I know the lingo.
1-0.
Beautiful run up the field. Nice passing.
Not Neil. Neil was your quarterback.
Yeah, Neil was my quarterback.
1-0 the score right now.
One they need. My correspondent of the day is Philip Forsberg. He is a soccer enthusiast. Remember when the team was announced for Nashville SC? They announced they were getting the team. He was there. He came just to be with the fans to see it because he loves having a team here. He's come to a lot of the games. But he said, this is the best talent that Team USA has ever had, at least collection of individuals. They have more guys playing overseas in the top leagues than he's seen before. Doesn't mean that you're going to gel. That's the key of taking your best players
and then gelling
for the big games. But he said they've got to win this game. He said, you know, for the group that they're in, it's not such a group that they can't get out of it to get to the final 16, but they really need a win in this game. So a good start.
So I have a task for you that I think would be fun. Whether it's on the plane or when you get to Detroit, find a few minutes with Phil and record an interview. You can obviously ask him about the Predators, but get him to break down the first few days of the World Cup. I think we should do that from time to time and let Phil become our analyst.
Yeah, well, and I think there's more than one guy. I think they all follow it, so maybe we can have some roving correspondents, just World Cup updates.
Matthias Ekholm, I mean, they go to the World Cup games a lot.
Yeah, and the World Cup is never played at this time of the year. It's because it's in the desert,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
They have to play it now. So I don't think we've ever had the World Cup during a hockey season.
No,
right?
No, I think this is awesome.
All right, so we're gonna. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
we're gonna.
Good job, suit.
We're gonna get some correspondents.
That's why I'm the suit.
Yeah, exactly.
I have these good ideas.
Some of these could be live on our show. Just get on an off day. We'll get somebody to come on and just talk hockey. I mean, talk World Cup.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic.
And we'll mix in a hockey question.
Of course. We do have a winner in our trivia contest, but we have some controversy here on Twitter as well, Nick. Have you seen this tweet to you?
No, I have not.
The Magic Man has tweeted at both the game and me, and he says, quote, "Yo, your producer sucks." was in the middle of answering the trivia question, and he hung up on me.
Oh.
Nick, your thoughts?
If that is the case, I could not hear you. If I do not hear a return, I do not keep you on the line.
Okay. You got a point there.
Okay, you got to move. I agree with Nick. You know, as a former producer, you move fast.
You got to move fast.
You got to be on the ball.
Mm-hmm. We had about four callers. So if I can't hear you, you got to speak up or you got to take yourself off your dang AirPods or something, man.
The controversy. AirPod controversy.
Oh, yes.
We might have to launch an investigation on this, get to the bottom of it. But we do have a winner, and the answer
was... In the meantime, he's going to be heckled. It's going to be, Nick, producer, producer.
Yeah, that should be Connor Ingram tonight, okay?
Right, the question... I'm not even forgetting the question. Connor Ingram was traded from the Lightning to the Predators a few years ago while he was in the minors. And, of course, worked his way up to be the backup. But that is going to be an interesting backdrop to this story because when the playoff series ended, I wasn't sure how the organization felt. I would have been not totally surprised if they brought Connor Ingram back to be the backup of UC Saros this year because he did play admirably, I thought, in that playoff series. But they decided to go with Kevin Lankinen, who's got more experience. And so far, Lankinen has been a very, very good fit as the backup. But we're really happy to see Connor Ingram. Who was in camp. You know, he was in Prague and Switzerland with the Predators, so that's pretty recent. And then he got grabbed off of the waiver wire and put into the backup position for Arizona.
Yep, so good for him for sure. Congratulations on getting that getting that question correct. We'll come back, put a bow on things, get you set for Stillman & Company, Predators Coyotes tonight here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Every time I hear this, I think Major League. This makes me happy. It's what I need. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Stillman and Company coming up in just a few minutes. Jared and Caroline. And do we think that Jared's going to overreact to the Vols loss?
Nah.
It's more of a rhetorical question than anything.
Yeah, right. He's gonna, oh, my goodness.
But you could have said, do we think Jared is going to overreact to blank?
Yeah, well, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Fill in the blank.
It would have been yes.
Yeah.
So this,
exactly.
You know, he sends – I get the grid. He has the suit. I get – you know, I get – grid privileges. That was a complete and total embarrassment from the Tennessee Volunteers, which is a true statement. I have no I have no disagreement on that statement. That was a true statement. And now he says, I guess I was completely wrong about this team. What a shame to give up 60 plus to South Carolina.
What were you wrong about? What was he wrong about?
Yeah, I don't think you could be wrong about them because I think they've overachieved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's like, what nobody ever wants to say. You know, that's what my question of the day is if I'd have told you they would be 9-2 going into the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah. You would sign up for that all day long.
You would have taken it.
All day long. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tony in Nolensville has a question on the Tennessee defense. Tony, welcome in.
Hello, guys. Well, first of all, when you run up 63 points on one team from Columbia – and you have the 63 points put on you the next week from another team from Columbia, the golf gods, or not the golf gods, but the football gods are speaking. So that's number one. And number two, I don't think that linebacker for Tennessee that y'all were talking about played a part in being out. I don't think he could have stopped those 6 touchdown passes.
No, but he would have helped.
I don't think he was involved in that. And 606 yards about... Guys, this defense, I've said it all year. Yes, Tennessee's gotten to a certain point, but they've gotten there with their offense. Their defense has, go back to the Alabama game, 52-49. Go back to the Georgia game. They do not have a defense. They don't. And
yep.
If you line up and hit them in their mouth, the offense, you can beat you stay in the game with them. That's all I got to say, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, it is what we said from the start.
Yeah.
When he came in from UCF,
uh-huh.
If you'd watched UCF at all, which a lot of us had, because UCF was a fun thing to watch over mm-hmm. the previous 5 years, and really the phenomenon of the up-tempo offense, up-tempo mm-hmm. spread looks, it makes it hard to play defense. You're trying to outgun people. You're trying to overwhelm people. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to score. But the defense does have to make some stops. And I thought they had done a really good job of that. I think when you really evaluate Tennessee's defensive performance, that's where they became, I think, a championship contender. Is the defense was, I thought, playing way better than I thought they were ready to in the second year of Josh Heupel. Do you guys agree? They had a big letdown on Saturday.
Well, they were playing good in certain situations.
Right, you got to get a turnover here and there. You got to get a big sack here and there. Key stops, you know, at key times.
Because we said it, especially in the Alabama game, it's whoever makes the least amount of mistakes in that Alabama game and whoever has the ball last in that Alabama game. And it played out that way. Whoever had the ball last won the game, and UT had the ball last. But their defense has always – this season has been their Achilles heel. But it's been overshadowed. Why? Because their offense puts up, you know, double what their defense gives up. And they typically, you know, they're winning games. That's why, you know, when you're winning, those problems that you have are not magnified. But everybody sees them. But everybody wants to ignore them. Why? Because you're winning. Well, the same problem showed up against South Carolina, and they couldn't put enough points on the board. Oh, and by the way, then your quarterback gets hurt at the start of fourth quarter. So now those problems that everybody sort of overlooked because they were outscoring everybody. Now they are magnified in the South Carolina game. Now everybody's saying, oh, man, this God, this off, this defense is horrible. Well, no, this defense hasn't been great all season. Their offense has just been phenomenal. They've been racking up points left and right. They were scoring, it seemed like, every third or fourth play on offense. Well, when the season starts to get long, guys start to get a little tired. I mean, you can't trot your defense on the field that many times. You gotta, I think what Heupel will understand now, because it's totally different from the division he was playing in 2 years ago. He gotta understand that, okay, we have to have the ability to slow it down if we want to and run the football. We can't just, you know, especially with teams in the SEC. See, we can't just get and go because they're going to score right back at us.
See, that I think is a really interesting philosophical question for Josh Heupel going forward, because if you do one thing and you do it really, really well, but it does leave you a weakness, like it's hard. Like, imagine being a defender.
Oh, my God.
You go out and you get a stop, and then the offense scores in three plays. That's great, but you got to go right back out there, right? And then – so, and there are games where this is what Vanderbilt will try to do, I'm sure, is run the ball, milk the clock, and make it a lower possession game. Try to play some keep away, get some first downs. So that's the interesting thing to me, is could they evolve into a program where you can go up tempo when you need to, and that's going to be your main thing. But if you do want to play the scoreboard, churn some clock, run it a little bit more. Can you do that? Can you do both?
Well, you look at the teams that can. Georgia, they can do that. They can speed it up if they want to, but then they can slow it down with their run game and still control the clock. I think at one point Alabama could do that. They're not running the ball as well as they were in previous years, but at one point they were able to do that. We can speed it up if we want to, but then we know we can slow it down with our run game and still control the clock and still get the 7 points. But instead of taking up 2 minutes, we're taking up 5 minutes. You know, UT has to figure that out, because as they start to get in their meat of the schedule and toward the end of the season, everybody gets tired. And you can't just keep throwing your defense back on the field.
We'll obviously continue this conversation, because I do think it's an evolution for Tennessee as they move forward. That'll do it for us today here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Coyotes coming up tonight, but stick around. Stillman and Company, they are next.
I'm out. We out.
We out.